we just lift the rest of this service up to you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, for the ability to convey truth that you have first given us. We call upon the spirit of wisdom and revelation right now, Lord, to impart even as you would, to give us a quick understanding of what you want us to know this morning. Lord, and whatever it is that you speak to us, Lord, we will be doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but walking in the truth that will liberate us and bring the manifestation of your power in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're continuing our series of Behold, I Give You Power. And everybody say that, power. I have power. You have more power than you can possibly fathom. And the dunamis power of God lives inside of you, and the supernatural authoritative power of God is in you as well. These are things that we are going to be dipping into, that God is going to be revealing how we could walk into it, walk in it and in the fullness of it this year. It's time to put away the old paradigms and the old ways of doing things and walk and enter into the new. And when we walk into the new, it's not just a patch on the old. It's not just a refurbishing of the old. This is something brand new that God is doing. Because you are new. You're a new creation. Nothing about your spirit is the way it was before you were born again. It was totally brand new. And it is locked up in that covenant that is an unbreakable thing. So we are, Jesus said, Behold, I give you power. And if you would turn to Luke chapter 10 in our Bibles. And when we open the Word of God, we are opening the Word of a person, your Father, the all-powerful God. And so this word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. And this word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, when God speaks, power is released. When God speaks, creation happens. When God speaks, hope comes. When God speaks, all things are new and all the old things are gone. Praise God for that. Understanding comes. Ability is given to those who have ears to hear. When God speaks, things happen. Well, Jesus is speaking here in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Well, if God is speaking, what's happening? Power is being released, right? So he is speaking here, and he said, Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, last week, our subtitle was Tread Confidently. If Jesus is speaking to you and he says, I give you power, you can tread confidently, right? And we talked about some definitions, that the word tread is the Greek word pateo. It's where we get the word pate from. Pate is a pounding of the meat until it becomes all flattened out. That's what we're supposed to do to the devil. That's why he used this word tread upon it. It means not just once in a while when you have to. This is talking about a way of life. It's about continually, repeatedly tramping on him until you cut a path. Just like if you were going through a grassy field back and forth every day, after a while it would show a path. And then when you tramp along the devil consistently and constantly, over and over and over again, you wear a path on his back. Look at this. Isn't that cool? You just wear a path on his back that he becomes very familiar with. And when you come down that path and he hears that key ring shaking, jingling of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he doesn't even want to be around you. Why? Because the light in you is repelling him in the darkness. You have more power in you, residing on the inside of you, than you can possibly understand. That's why it's important that we renew our mind. So this is referring to a way of life. This is referring to being consistent, trampling down serpents and scorpions regularly and continuing until we wear a path that they become very familiar with. And you know, the devil is one of those things, if you can't beat him, join him. So he takes this same principle and he uses it against us to speak a lie over and over and over and over and over again. He's trying to make that pathway into your life, trying to get it to be very familiar to you so that you actually believe that this is my thoughts. You actually believe this is my desires. You actually believe that this is the way I need to do things. Even though it might be exactly opposite of what God teaches, those lies, and you got to take those and start say, no, you don't. You ought to get up and stamp your feet right now. Just say, no, you don't. Jesus told him to shut up. Remember? Well, the King James is very polite and says, hold thy peace. That's not the way Jesus talked. Shut up! Get out of here! And they had no choice. You think Jesus would never say that. No, Max von Sydow would never say that, imitating Jesus on The Greatest Story Ever Told or whatever that was. But, I mean, can you picture that? I mean, Max von Sydow is talking like this. And go. That's not Jesus. Jesus was happy. Jesus wasn't filled with stiffness. In fact, amen. So I thought that once you are walking in confidence and confidence and confidence and confidence, trampling over those serpents and scorpions and the devil, then the devil comes at you another way. And he comes at you with fear to try to paralyze your faith, to try to get you to walk under your privileges, walk beneath who God says you are, walk beneath what God says you have or what you can do. And he uses the tactic of fear to do it. So this is part two. It's entitled Freedom from All Fear. Behold, I give you power and freedom from all fear. Isn't that good? Praise God. That's the primary tool he uses, is fear. The other one is deception. It's like his two-edged sword. Fear on one side, deception on the other. And he uses accusations, guilt, past condemnation, lies, deceit, and all of these. You know, you can see all of these things when the Hebrews came back and said there's giants in the land. Well, some of the giants are your past. Some of the giants are guilt that you haven't been able to get free from or feel a release from the... Well, don't go by your feelings. Go by what the Word says, that you have been released. You have been forgiven. These things belong to you. You need to take them. Right. It's up to us. And that's the key. Are these thoughts that I'm receiving, are these desires that I'm receiving, are they leading to bondage or to liberty? That's how you discern the truth. Why? Because it says, we have not received the spirit of fear again to bondage, or the spirit of bondage again to fear. Either way, you could interchange those. Because fear leads to bondage, bondage leads to more fear. And we haven't received that spirit of fear. So that's a key. Is what I'm hearing in my head or in my heart, is that leading to condemnation, guilt, bondage? Or is it leading to liberation, to liberating my soul to walk freely with God and to really enjoy God. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, did I put that in here? Yes. No, I didn't. But he said, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's not just knowing truth. It's knowing the truth that makes you free. It's knowing the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that you know. Know in your knower. Know down inside that this works. Know that this is experiential knowledge as well as it is just accepting that it's God talking to you. This is God talking to you. When he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free, when God speaks, power is released for you to believe it and walk in it. So let's deal with fear this morning. You know what I'd like to do with fear is like tar and feather it and run it out of my life on a rail. Really, you've got to get that angry about it. You've got to put your foot down and say, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. This is not me, and it's not going to lord over me. I'm done. I'm walking in faith. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I'm walking in faith. I'm not going to bow my knee to fear. You know, if faith, you know what fear is? Fear is faith in reverse. Actually, it's a perverted faith. You know, Adam, Jesus was the last Adam, right? He's not the second Adam, because after Jesus, you don't need another Adam. He did it all. He is the last Adam, but the first Adam had the same things that Jesus had built in him. He had dunamis inside of him. He had authoritative, supernatural authoritative power delegated to him by God himself. But when Adam sinned, his faith was perverted into fear. They worked the same way. Totally different. Polar opposites, but they work under the same laws. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? Fear comes by hearing and hearing of the word of the devil. You know what worry is? Fretting, worry. It's meditation on the word of the devil. That's what worry is. You're meditating on lies. You're meditating on pride. You're meditating on deception. You're meditating on half-truths that are mixed in with enough scripture to get you confused. Let me just get into this too, because you have never seen me. You've seen my physical face and my hands. You've seen, but you don't see me. I'm a spirit, and I've never seen you. You're a spirit. I'm looking out of these eyes to you, at your eyes. You are a spirit, and these things exist, and they are a reality in the spirit. That's who you are as a spirit. And when you operate by the power of the Holy Spirit, fear has no place in you. It cannot. God doesn't share his territory with anybody. Especially the devil. It's like, can Christians have a demon? Does God share his temple with the devil? Does righteousness have any fellowship with unrighteousness? No. No. You can be demonically influenced. You can have an unrenewed mind. You can sin. It's all in the Bible. But to be possessed by the devil and be a Christian, it's not going to happen. God kicked him out of heaven. I mean, come on. Because he doesn't want him there. He's certainly not going to share your temple with him either. But Jesus said this. Say this. Power is coming to me now. Through the living word of God. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I like that first word, behold. You know what behold means? It means to look. It means to be aware. It means to perceive. It means to focus. And it conveys the idea of being in the moment, being present in the moment. Present. So the problem is when we focus, when we look at the wrong things, when we focus on our problems, on our mistakes, on our failures, on our weaknesses, well, the thing is, the more we focus on them, the bigger they get in our own mind. And then it gets to the point where that's all we think about. And then we hear the truth, and then we're trying to live up to the standard that we shouldn't be trying to live up to. It's already given to us to lift us up into His presence. Did I say that right? These things are given to us because we are already in Christ. And these truths elevate us to be able to walk in that power. But if we're looking at our problems, they only get bigger, and that's all we start thinking about. And then what happens is they begin to rule our life. And we think, oh, well, God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe He has a different plan for me because I'm not like everybody else and I'm not hooking in with this. No, you're just believing a lie. When Moses died and Joshua inherited the privilege of bringing in the children of Israel into the promised land, I mean, would you like to follow an act like that, like Moses? But what was the answer? What did God tell Joshua to do? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth." Keep saying this. "But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have not just success, but good success." You know, it's not your failures, it's not your mistakes, it's not your past sins, it's not being born on the wrong side of the tracks, it's not being your race or whatever. There's only two races, folks. There's unborn again and born again people. Those are the only two races there are, as far as God's concerned. We need to renew our mind. People get so upset about racism. You know, they call me white. I'm not white. I'm like a beige. And plus, this isn't my permanent color anyways. You don't know what you're going to look like in heaven, but you'll be surprised when you get there. You're going to be so glowing with the glory of God. Anyhow, we need to free ourselves and look at ourselves a little differently. Look at ourselves from God's point of view. You are a beautiful work of genius. You really are. It's not your failures, it's not that determine your success. It's what you meditate on that determines your success. It's what you fill your mind with that determines your success or your failure. Focus on what? Focus on, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." That's what we focus on. He says, behold, focus, look, be in the moment here. Be in the moment with this. Focus on this. Meditate on this. Look at this. "I have given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." Who's the god of this world? I don't want anyone to say his name. Not worth it. And all his minions and everything. You have power to tread on all of those. Look, folks, 10 years ago, we would have considered it, and I did too, that if Donald Trump ever ran for president, that would be a joke. I mean, come on. But look what he did. He just did. And look at him. And not only that, he's straightened the whole country out financially. Yeah. We're strong again. The world respects us now. I mean, look at the changes that this man has brought just by being Donald Trump. Why? Because a long time ago he accepted that he is the son of a very successful father. And he received that as a delegation, delegated authority, to walk in who his father said he was. And that's just on the earthly plane. Natural Father. You have a supernatural Father that created all of this. Amen. Oh, dear Lord. Are you advocating Donald Trump? A man's works will advocate for him. He doesn't need my opinion anyways. Focus on it. Look at it. Operate in this, he's saying. Operate in my power. Look at this. Look at what you got. You know, the problem is not that we're not given power. The problem is that we don't know what we have. And if we don't know what we have, we're going to miss the wake-up call. We're going to miss his voice. If we don't know what we have, we're not going to be sinking in with his word, because his word comes to you based on what he's already given us. I don't know how, if I can say that any differently or any better. But he says, behold, let's go back there. I give, you know, that's all Jesus ever did. He came to give. I give you. That's all he ever did was give us. He sat with Paul one night in prison. And he said, cheer up, Paul. Cheer up, Paul. You testify for me in Jerusalem, you're going to testify for me in Rome too. And he started giving him a vision. He only came to give, give, give. He gave, finally he gave himself because he couldn't give anymore. He gave healing. He gave what he had to everybody who asked. There's only one thing that I know of that he took. And he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body given for you. He was a giver. This was his lifestyle as a giver. When that little boy came with the lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, little barley loaves and 2 fish, the boy gave up his lunch. Jesus got all over that. And he took it and he blessed it and broke it and multiplied. And he said, now gather up all the fragments that nothing be lost, because he didn't want that boy to miss out on one piece of his harvest. Could he carry 12 baskets away, that little kid? No, because it was more than he could contain. Like Sherry shared with us last week, man. He got overflowing, windows of heaven, blessing. It was good. Jesus is a giver. And when you give, you are talking his language. You are walking in step with him. He gets all over it. He loves, because he can fellowship with that. He can fellowship with a giver. There are givers and there are takers. My gosh, folks, it's time to really get in the lane of spiritual productivity, heavenly productivity, and get in the power lane. I give you power. And we talked about the word power being the word exousia. It's a Greek word. It means, better translated, authority. But when Jesus gives the authority, it's not just plain authority. I mean, we have policemen that hold up a badge. That badge represents the city. It can stop a semi-truck. Now, that cop in his own strength couldn't do that, but the badge does. The uniform he wears does. State police gets out there, and he puts up his hand. That semi is going to stop. Why? Because of delegated authority. But that's only natural delegated authority. The spiritual type of supernatural authoritative power that Jesus walked in was the kind that walked above the plane of the natural. When they tried to stone him, he walked through the midst of them. When they tried to throw him off a cliff, he walked right through the midst of them. They couldn't touch him until he gave that authority over to them. That's when he became our sacrifice. But until then, he walked in supernatural delegated authority. Fear is perverted faith. Came into the earth when Adam sinned. Fear's greatest weapon, greatest statement, is to make you feel powerless. If you feel powerless, that's the beginning of fear. When you feel powerless over your future, when you feel powerless to overcome any various things. What is the outcome of this business meeting? What is the outcome of this meeting I'm having with the mortgage company or whatever? Whatever it is, you can anticipate the worst Or you can walk in knowing that you've got God's best because he said, I give you authority. When you feel powerless over your finances, every time you get caught up, then the engine blows in your car. You got to buy a new engine. Then you know, and then you get caught up, and then the washer and dryer go. And then you get caught up, and then there's a sickness and the ambulance. And, you know, when you feel powerless against that, you're afraid to do anything. You're afraid to give. And if the devil can stop you from giving, he's secured a lot of your future in defeat. Amen. We've got to give something for the Lord of the tithe, the high priest of our confession and our giving, the high priest of it all. In Hebrews chapter 10, you know, there's been a big thing about tithing, isn't it a New Testament thing? You got to read Hebrews 7. It says, then he gave, they gave to men who died, but now we give to him who lives to testify that he lives forever. We give, and he's talking about the tithe there. There's a lot of real estate in the book of Hebrews about tithing. But, you know, if the devil can convince you not to, then he's secured a lot of your future in this black hole of selfishness. That's the way you've got to look at it. Jesus was a giver. Say that. Jesus was a giver.
Jesus was a giver.
He gave it. God so loved us that he gave. Jesus so loved us that he gave. He gave and he gave and he gave. One way to silence fear is to give as an act of faith. Say, shut up, devil, or I'm going to give it all. You won't have anything to say then. Fear is designed to make us feel powerless over the fact that our future may not be good. Oh, dear. It's like he puts up this little yield caution sign. You know, you got to watch your future, man. No, God's got my future. What the outcome may be, what our body may not recover, our finances may fail us, our past mistakes, sins, and failures may be too much to overcome. A lot of ifs and maybes there. God doesn't deal in ifs and maybes. He is absolute, 100% light and truth. Well, what do we do to rise above the ifs and maybes, the fears that come? Look at Peter in prison. We've been through this. Peter is in prison. He is sound asleep. Sleeping like a baby the night before his execution. Would you be able to sleep real soundly if you know you're getting executed the next day? What is it that made Peter have such peace that he could fall asleep chained between two soldiers, knowing he's going to be executed? And I mean, they just, a week or so before that, they beheaded James, the son, the brother of John. And now they saw how that pleased the Jews, so they grabbed Peter and he's next. What is it that gave him that amount of peace? Turn to John chapter 21. We're going to go into some things that Jesus told Peter after Jesus rose from the dead. You know, after somebody raises from the dead, you're going to listen to them. Amen. And look at verse 18. You know, first of all, let's go back a little farther than that. He said, Peter, do you love me? Verse 15. So when they had eaten, Jesus said, Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He said, to feed my lambs. Three times he said, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? And Peter's heart said, you know everything. You know everything about me. You know that I love you. And then Jesus looked right at him. He said, verily I say to you, when you were young, you clothed yourself and walked wherever you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not go. Jesus told Peter he was going to live to be an old man. Peter knew that whatever happened the next day, the death sentence would fail, but Jesus' word would never fail. And he had total peace in that, and he could sleep on that, just the same way you can sleep on the fact that he gives his beloved sleep. And it's vain to worry and fret and eat the bread of sorrows because he gives his beloved sleep. You can do the same thing, because that's just as much of the word of God as Jesus speaking to Peter. Amen. It says this. Look at Psalm 91, verse 14. Did I put that in there, Phil? Yes, I did. Because he has set his love upon me. What did Jesus ask Peter? Do you love me? He said, you know, I love three times. Because he has set a love in me, therefore I will what? Peter probably went to sleep on this scripture right here, knowing that his future was in Jesus. Jesus already declared it. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and I'll show him my salvation. Is that rich? Are we being blessed here today? That's an Old Testament scripture. Paul, remember I mentioned that earlier. Paul was in prison in Jerusalem. The chief of the guard pulled him out because they thought they were going to rip him apart, and they put him in under lock and keys to keep him safe. And Jesus comes into the cell and starts talking to him. He says, be of good cheer, Paul, because if you've witnessed for me in, here in Jerusalem, you'll also witness for me in Rome. Then what happened? All of a sudden, a plot to kill him was revealed to Paul's nephew. And he ran and told him, and Paul said, tell the guard. So they rescued him out. They brought him down to Caesarea and kept him in jail there for 2 years. He was still remained in prison until the right person came into authority in Jerusalem. And then they brought him back for trial, and he was found innocent. But he appealed to Caesar because Jesus told him he's going to go there. So he got an all-expenses trip paid to Rome. Now, there was problems. There were storms. There were delays. They had to empty out all the cargo they had. Then they were talking about throwing the prisoners overboard. And the angel appeared to Paul. See, Paul knew, no matter what, shipwreck, a snake biting him, all this stuff, he knew he was going to get to Rome. Why? Because Jesus told him. You know, Jesus has declared several things over you, too. Children, obey your parents in the Lord so that you will live long upon the earth. Amen? It's a commandment with promise. All his commandments are for our good. What's God been speaking to you? Think about it. Are you so filled with guilt, condemnation, that you can't really hear the voice of love? That's not God's fault. He's always speaking love. You know, Lori and I watched this thing on TV last night. It's called the Stranger series with Jefferson Moore, where he had dinner with this woman and Jesus. He invited her to dinner. Well, this is the second time, 10 years later, when her daughter is on a plane, and you know, he's sitting right next to her. She doesn't know it's Jesus, and she said, "What are you, some kind of a shrink or something?" He said, "No, more like a counselor." But he asked the right questions to get her to open up her heart to him. And the end result is that he solved the problem between her and her parents, reconciled them. She called up and said, "Mom, I think I ran into an old friend of yours." Oh, it's good. It's a good movie. But you know what? God is there even when you can't see him. Jesus is there asking you the questions. Jesus is there giving you truth. Jesus is there telling you that everything's going to be good. Follow me. Hear my voice. Know my voice. I lead you and follow me. And you will have a bright future. So, okay, here are some things. What about when my body says, then the doctor says that I'm going to die, I'm terminal now. Whose report are you going to believe? You have a, God says I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. The doctor says I'm going to die. Okay, what do I do in order to receive what God says to me? Believe it, take it, walk in it. It's not any harder than that. Once you start trying to, does a tree try to produce fruit? I mean, it's like, apple. No, it just, because it's in there. Receive the word of God, what it says about you, receive it in your heart. Believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth, and walk accordingly. It's not harder than that. Now, we all get hit with things. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I mean, it probably hurt just listening to me. I listened to the recording of it, and I'm telling you, it hurt me just to listen to that. Because I was so, you know. But all the time, I mean, you can either believe what your body is telling you, or you can believe what God's word says about your body and just walk accordingly, and sooner or later, the thing's going to let go. Finances. Past. We need to cut this short a little bit here because let's just look at this. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. No, didn't put it in. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, you parents, if your children cry out to you, Daddy, 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 I'm hurting. Daddy, I'm hurting. Do you feel a sense of responsibility to come and help that child in any way that you possibly can? Do you think it's any less with God? But where do most people turn? They turn to the drugs the doctors offer them. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But don't depend on it. Depend on God. Go to God first. Because here, the spirit of fear leads to bondage, where the spirit of faith leads you to liberty, freedom. 2 Timothy 1:7, we have not received the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Sound mind is a disciplined mind. One that is trained to follow the word of God. The spirit of love, power and love and of the sound mind. Behold, I give you power. Over what? Power over your mind. Power to discipline your mind. Power to walk in love. Power, power, power. That's what fear preys on, the sense of powerlessness. Fear needs the fuel of a sense of powerlessness. Fear needs the fuel of an unloving heart. Fear needs the fuel of a sense of powerlessness, and it's all a lie. We've been given the keys to radically dismantle those gates. Radically dismantle the deceptive tactics of the devil. And overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the love of our hearts to him. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a man, I'm telling you, when he went to the brook, picked up five stones, and he said, "You come to me with swords and spears, I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he ran over to Goliath. He ran out to him, it says. And he said, "Today I'm going to take your head off of your shoulders and feed your carcass to the fowls of the air." He's a little kid. Goliath is a big giant. He said, "Am I a dog that you would send this idiot out here?" He said, "Watch this." Like what Van Kraut said. Goliath had to Goliath down. David was the first insurance salesman, sold Goliath a piece of the rock. Goliath said, "This has never entered into my mind before." And Goliath had to Goliath down, and he lost his head. David took Goliath's own sword, cut off his head, and brought it home. Oh, yeah. That's the kind of stuff we need to understand. You know, religion takes all of that. Religion. You know, you have to be nice. You know, you have to be humble. You have to be demure. No, you got to be tenacious. You got to walk in your power, walk in your authority. And what you see that is not under your authority, call it. It's time that if we want to walk with God through this breakthrough, you got to know who you are, what you have, what you can do, and you need to know where you're seated. You need to know what God says about you, what belongs to you. Otherwise, you're going to miss it. No, make a list. Here you go. Know that God is your source. Number two is know who you are in Christ. Make a list of all the scriptures. You know, one thing that can help you is the book that we have. If it's not back there, it's out in the lobby. In Him by Kenneth Hagin. And every year I take those scriptures and I write them out with a little confession next to it and just renew my mind to it every single year. You've got to do this. Make it. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your heart. And you will know who you are in Christ. Make a list of those scriptures and tell yourself, "This is who I am. This is who I am. This is what I can do." Know what you have. You have the faith of God. You have the life of God. You have the Spirit of God living in you, and you have the power of God living in you. That's number three. Number four is know what you can do. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Now, that may seem like up here. We'll start with the baby steps. I can do this. I don't have to look there. I can look here. I don't have to say this. I don't have to respond. Start with the little things. I don't have to be caught up in this dialogue, in this narrative. I've got bigger fish to fry. I start off with the baby steps. And then after a while, like Paul, you say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And once you get a little bit of a boost, then it becomes twice as more. Then it exponentially, then it gets twice more than that. And it begins to multiply inside of you that you know that you can do all things. You can work this. You can work up to this. And whatever you don't have, if you're working on it, the grace of God will be released to get you over the finish line. It's what you allow in your heart. It's what you allow in your mind. What you look at, what you hear, what you think. You have authority over your mind, by the way. It's not the devil's playground. It's your mind. And number five is know where you are seated. Let's look at that. Did I put this in? Ephesians 2. It says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, He, Jesus, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." When Jesus rose from the dead, in the mind of God, you were already raised from the dead, and you were seated with Him in heaven. Where's Jesus? At the right hand of God? Where does that put you? If you're in Christ, raised up together with Him. Above all power, principality, mights, and dominions, and every name that's named. This is real truth. Renewing our minds, getting edified and encouraged. That's what we've been doing for the last half hour or so here. And what happened to the fear? It left. See, you're not trying to overcome fear. You're walking in God. And as you walk in God, fear doesn't have a place in you. Because why? Because you know the truth, and the truth has made you free from fear. It has made you free from a lot of things just by focusing your attention, just by being in the moment with what God is speaking to you, being in the moment with the Word of God when He says, "Behold, I give you power." Don't abdicate it. Don't abdicate it. Hold on to it. Be tenacious about it. And say, I'm making a decision now. I remember when I quit smoking cigarettes, I mean, that was a terrible thing. But when, they put chemicals in there that are totally psychologically addictive, too. And they found out about that. There was a movie about that called The Insider. It was a great movie. Al Pacino was, great movie. But I remember, it was I got a word. I was in a meeting. Somebody said something about you can just take that cigarettes out of your pocket and just throw them away. And it was a rhema to me. And so I went home and I broke all of my, I had a whole carton of, and I broke them all in pieces and threw them away. 3 days later, I wanted a cigarette so bad. And I can remember going into the dining room, getting down on my knees and said, "God, I don't want to go back. Help me." It was gone. Easiest thing I ever did. What the world can't do, God will make you do. He'll help you do it. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. We're grateful for light and truth. We're grateful, Father, for all that you've done in our life. We're grateful, Father, that you are an inexhaustible source of supply to us. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed to us who we are in Christ. You've given your word that that's who we are, and you sealed it and signed it with your own blood. Cause us to know what we have, the things that work in us, your faith, your life, your love, your spirit, your grace, working mightily in us. Forgive us for not paying attention in the past, for not realizing how real these things are, that we are new creatures, new creations. Lord, and we're excited about the life that we now have in Christ, that we can know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we know where we have been seated. We are in the seat of authority. Lord, and I pray for a spirit of revelation for each one of us to be able to walk in the reality of that freedom. Walk in the reality of the freedom from fear that tries to jerk at us one way and the other, to try to jerk the truth out of us, to try to jerk the spiritual strength away from us, and to make us feel total failures. But Lord, you say we're not. We're going to believe your word, and we're going to tenaciously hold that word as our truth. That word is my truth. That word is our truth together. And Lord, help us to pray for each other this week as we part company this week. When you put somebody on our heart, Lord, we will pray for them. And we will speak your word into this atmosphere for them. And when you speak, when your word is released, power comes. Even as the last thing that you ever said before you were raised into heaven, "Behold, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in this earth. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.